I want you to leave you as church warden with a final word, and I want you to remember as a church a particular verse in Romans chapter 1 verse 16 which says, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. We have a gospel that is the power of God for salvation. I want to encourage you as the church to take hold of that gospel and to let the village of Mark's Tay know the gospel, which is the power of God for salvation. It's not about how good the vicar is or how good we are or what we do in church. It's the gospel that has the power to change this community. And I want to explain that a little bit. The power of God, the gospel, the centre of that is the cross of Jesus. Jesus died on a cross. And there's three Christian traditions that we can learn from about the cross. There's the Protestant tradition that talks about an empty cross. It's empty because Jesus on the cross said, it is finished. The work is complete. He's done it all. Our worst enemy, our last enemy, death, was defeated on the cross. The ultimate enemy that we all face. He dealt with it on the cross. And God raised him from the dead. So the cross is empty. He's now ascended, now seated at the right hand of God. Seated because it is finished, complete. He has done it all for us so we can know him. That's the power of God. But also, there's a Catholic tradition, and their cross has a body still on the cross. And that reminds us that Jesus Christ identifies with us in our suffering. It's a messy cross. Jesus identifies with real life. He knows what it is to be in pain. He knows about our shame, our guilt, our fears, our sins. And all that was put onto the cross. And it's a very realistic cross. So we need to remember that Jesus died for real people. He knows our failings. He knows what we are. And he died for that. And there's a scripture which I want to read out about that in Isaiah, which Isaiah 53. Because the power of the God on the cross is that through that pain and suffering, we can receive his healing, his wholeness. We can be made new. It says in Isaiah 53, surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Very messy. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Very powerful part of the cross. And the third tradition is the Orthodox Church, and they have a very complicated cross. They have an eight-pointed cross. You've got the 2 points, which is the stake, obviously, in the ground, and they have 3 cross beams. And that cross speaks of the all-encompassing victory that Christ won on the cross for you and for me. The first beam is referring really to the words written over Jesus when he died on the cross, King of the Jews. Jesus is a king. He has won the victory. He now has a kingdom, the kingdom of God. He's King of Kings, Lord of Lords. The second beam is the crossbar where his arms are outstretched, which reminds us that what he did on the cross is for everyone, for all people, everywhere. No limits there. All-encompassing victory. He's done it. His victory secure for all of us. Male, female, Jew, non-Jew, whatever. And the third beam is the one at the bottom where his feet were. And there's 2 little arrows on their cross, one pointing downwards and one pointing upwards. And the symbolism of that is that his feet are on that beam because he is Lord of what I call the underworld. I don't know what word to use, really, but I'm thinking of the devil, demons, evil spirits, all that sort of stuff. On the cross, all that has been defeated and finished with. It's done deal. And it's also an arrow pointing upwards because he's now in heaven, in the heavenly realms, seated at the right hand of the throne of God. He has won that victory, and he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the verse that sort of that sums that up is in Philippians chapter 2, which says in verse 9, "Therefore God exalted him," Jesus, "to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." That's the power of the cross, summed up in those three traditions. And we have that power, the gospel. But it's not enough just to know the gospel. It's not enough to know about Jesus. We need to own that gospel for ourselves. We need to make sure that we own it. And the reason I asked for the passage in Acts to be read out is because in that passage, Paul and Silas summarise the gospel in one sentence, one simple sentence: "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you shall be saved." Believe is not a thought process. In the Bible, believe is a verb, it's an action. It's a step of faith, a step of trust, to believe in Jesus, to believe in what God has done on the cross in Jesus. So what that means is saying, "Lord Jesus, forgive me because I've gone my own way rather than your way. I've turned my back on the cross. I now choose to turn 180 degrees round. I choose instead to walk towards the cross. I turn to Christ. I want to go God's way, not my way." That's what the Bible calls repentance. Believe. But it's not just believing, it's believing in the Lord Jesus. He needs to be our Lord and our Saviour. It's part of the package. Romans 6:23, Paul says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord." And the promise of the gospel, the power, the amazing thing is, believe in the Lord Jesus and you shall be saved. I haven't got time to explain being saved. There's too much to say there. But basically, eternal life, healing, freedom, free from the law of sin and death, forgiveness of sin, lots of stuff. The main thing to get across is, it's a good thing. It's good. That's the main thing to get across. Being saved is a good thing. You want it, I want it. Okay. So, I leave you a question for each one of you. Do you actually own the cross yourself? Have you actually asked Jesus into your life? Have you taken hold of those benefits of the cross? If I speak, you realise that you haven't ever done that, then I would encourage you to ask Jesus to come into your life. And in a few minutes, I'm going to say a short prayer. I'll encourage you to, in your heart, echo that prayer to God in your own heart. It's not the words that matter, it's more what your heart is saying through those words. So I'm going to pray that prayer now. Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you you died on the cross so I could be forgiven for my sin. Forgive me because I have gone my own way rather than God's way. Lord Jesus Christ, I invite you into my life to be my Saviour, to be my Lord. I turn back to the cross, to God, to you, Jesus. And I ask that you would show me how to live my life, that you would show me my call, my vocation, this day and into the future. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And if you pray that prayer, God hears that prayer and he will answer it. I prayed that prayer similar years and years ago. And I can say that it's the beginning of a relationship. It's not a sudden change. You need to get to know Jesus, read the Bible, and encourage you to do that. And so to finish, I just wanted to ask Harry to play the first verse and chorus of that song we sang before. Thank you, and God bless.